zingen. Wait a minute. That is so much fun to do. Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. It's good to see so many shiny faces. Everybody looks warm. My name is Blake McNulty. I'm this morning's rep from the church board. I've got a variety of announcements about church life and activities. Please read these announcements in the order of service and take them home. Take it home with you if you need a reminder. I particularly call your attention to the upcoming Choral Fest, and on the back page also a list of upcoming classes offered at the church. Okay. In addition, today there will be a church-wide potluck after the service. Please feel free to join the meal or just stay for a cup of coffee. Help with cleanup is greatly appreciated, if not mandatory. Those who signed up for the Bringing UU Values into the Home will go through the potluck line first and take their food into classroom 3 for the workshop. I invite you to do a hand-warming exercise with those seated around you.
Good morning again, gentlemen. Good morning.
I especially greet visitors this morning. Please grab a cup of coffee and join us after today's service in the minister's office. We'd love to chat, answer questions that you might have, and get to know you a little better. Also, if you're a visitor, please sign the guest ledger on the visitors' table in the foyer. There's a variety of information available on that table about our church and Unitarian Universalism. Help yourself to any that interest you. And as I said, I'll be in the social hall and other members of the board as well in case you have any questions. If you are visiting us today with your children, it is our custom for the children to remain with us until after the story for all ages, at which time they will go to their religious education classes. Your child is welcome to join them or to remain in the service. If you would like to go along to observe your child's class, please do so. The nursery is just outside the door to my right and across the entranceway if there's a need for child care during the service. Classes will end at 11:15, at which time you may pick up your children from their classes. We always get are happy to get to know our guests. So if any members have brought guests today, we would be pleased if you would introduce them. If any guests have brought themselves, we would invite you to say hello. Welcome, especially for me. I live about five blocks from that church. Everyone is invited to gather in the social hall after the service for refreshments and conversation. The conversation corner is a good place to gather for further discussions of the service. And you know the routine, cell phones, candy wrappers, or whatever. Turn off all electric devices, electronic. No texting during the service, please. The ushers will confiscate your... if it's an iPhone, you might not get it back. I hope you find today's service stimulating, worthwhile. Our speaker today is Mary Sue Rudabook. I have practiced saying it four times and still don't have it right. Rudabook.
You're fine.
That's okay. Well, she will answer to that. Mary Sue brings over 25 years of Montessori education leadership. In addition to being a certified Montessori educator, Mary Sue holds a B.S. in Education Communication from Ohio University and Advanced Education in Theology from St. Minor University in Indiana. Utilizing both her Montessori background and family communications, she has developed an effective parenting program that she has offered to parents and teachers throughout the U.S. and Canada. After spending 15 years in the classroom in schools throughout Indiana and Ohio, and the past 8 years both consulting and working as a principal at Rock Prairie Montessori School in Janesville, Mary Sue decided to focus on the spiritual development of children and families. Over the past 3 years, she has served as a DRE director of director of religious education for the UU community in Mequonago, and a faith formation director for St. Patrick Church in Whitewater. Mary Sue continues to consult for schools and churches throughout the U.S. However, her greatest joy comes from sharing time with her son and husband. So welcome to Lake Country UUC. Okay.
Our opening words today are from a poem I think a lot of you will recognize. This is called Invitation, from Where the Sidewalk Ends by Shel Silverstein. If you are a dreamer, come in. If you are a dreamer, a wisher, a liar, a hoper, a prayer, a magic bean buyer, if you're a pretender, come sit by my fire, for we have some flax golden tales to spin. Come in, come in. Now I invite you to join in singing our opening hymn, Come Sing a Song with Me. Please rise as you are willing and able.
Come
Please join in number 437 in our green hymnals. This is Let Us Worship. And I'm going to ask the congregation to read the italics. So I'll give you a moment to find them. Let us worship with our eyes and ears and fingertips. We feed our eyes upon the mystery and revelation in the faces of our brothers and sisters. We seek to understand the shyness behind arrogance, the fear behind pride, the tenderness behind clumsy strength, the anguish behind cruelty. Let us worship, not in bowing down, not with closed eyes and stopped ears.
Let us worship with the opening of all the windows of our beings, with the full outstretching of our spirits.
Life comes with singing and laughter, with tears and confiding, with a rising wave too great to be held in the mind and heart and body, to those who have fallen in love with life. We invite the children to come forward for our story for all ages, or anyone else who would like to come forward.
Good morning. I'm Mary Sue, by the way, and I have a favor to ask. May I? I feel quite removed from you, like you're far away and there's all this emptiness up here, and it's a very lonely feeling for an extrovert like me. So could you change that, those who are willing and able, so that we are not so far from each other? I promise I showered this morning. I can't always say that in my day, but I did today, by golly. Good morning. How are you this morning? Do you know the story? You've probably heard it many times. This time, I'm going to sing it to you. It's not because I have an exceptional voice, but I think it's an exceptional way to hear the story. There's going to be a part where I'm going to motion to you, and you're going to sing. And the cool thing is, we'll never talk about it. You'll know when to come in, all of you. Thank you for filling in those gaps. Once there was a tree, and she loved a little boy. And every day the boy would come, and he would gather her leaves, and he would gather her leaves, and make them into crowns and play king of the forest. He would climb her trunk, and swing from her branches and eat apples. And they would play hide-and-go-seek. And when he was tired, he would sleep in her shade. And the boy loved the tree. Boy loved the tree. See how smart you are? Very much. And the tree was happy. But time went by, and the boy grew older. The tree was often alone. Then one day the boy came to the tree, and the tree said, "Come, boy, come and climb up my trunk and swing from my branches and eat apples and play in my shade and be happy. I'm too big to climb and play, said the boy. I want to buy things and have fun. I want some money. Can you give me some money? I'm sorry, said the tree. I have no money. I have only leaves and apples. Take my apples, boy, and sell them in the city. Then you'll have money, and you'll be happy. And so the boy climbed up the tree and gathered her apples and carried them away. And the tree was happy. I wonder why. But the boy stayed away for a long time. And the tree was sad. And then one day the boy came back. And the tree shook with joy. And she said, come, boy, climb up my trunk and swing from my hand branches and be happy. I'm too busy to climb trees, said the boy. I want a house to keep me warm. I want a wife. I want children. Can you give me a house? I have no house, said the tree. The forest is my home, but you can cut off branches and build a house. Then you'll be happy. And so the boy cut off her branches and carried them away to build a house. And the tree was happy. But the boy stayed away for a long time. And when he came back, the tree was so happy she could hardly speak. Come, boy, she whispered. Come and play. I'm too old. Sad to play, said the boy. I want a boat that will take me away from here. Can you give me a boat? No. And so the boy cut down her trunk and made a boat and sailed away. And the tree was happy, but not really. And after a long time, the boy came back. I'm so sorry, boy. I have nothing left to give you. My apples are gone. My teeth are too weak. My branches are gone. I'm too old to swing on branches. My trunk is gone. You cannot climb. I'm too tired to climb. I'm sorry, sighed the tree. I wish that I could give you something. I have nothing left to give. I'm just an old stump. I don't need much now, said the boy. Just a quiet place to sit and rest. I'm tired. Well, said the tree, straightening herself up. An old stump is good for sitting and resting. Come and sit down. And the tree was happy. Are you happy when you give? Me too. All right. Any thoughts about the book? The tree was happy because the boy was happy. Are you happy when other people are happy? How many of us sometimes, I know I tend to think about things that I want. Do you ever think about things that you want? Me too. I think about those things. I wonder, though, this book always makes me think about whether they'll really make me happy. That's something to think about, isn't it? It's really something to think about. Is it okay to want things? Yeah, sure. There's things we need, there's things we want, and they all get mixed up sometimes. I really believe that I won't need my cell phone. Some people tell me I just want my cell phone, but I believe I need my cell phone. Do you have things like that? But I know that when I'm happiest, really happiest is when I have this opportunity to give. Is that something to think about? I'll think about it too. Maybe others can too. All right, I'm going to invite you to stand now. You're going to get to go forward, you to stay or to go to your class. Okay, and I'm going to invite anyone who wants to join us. And I'd really like to invite everyone. We're going to do Spirit of Life, sort of a condensed version, with motions. So if you'd like to join us, you can do that sitting, you can do that standing, or just enjoy. Okay, are you ready? Are your hands free? So those who want to join, please stand. It's a beautiful way to experience this lovely, lovely UU hymn. You don't need your books. You know it. Here we go. Let's try it. Spirit of life, come unto me. Sing in my heart all the stirrings of compassion. Blow in the wind. Get ready. Do it one more time, and all of you, can you help me? Spirit of life, beautiful. Come unto me. Sing in my heart all the stirrings of compassion.
This is a time when we invite everyone who wishes to share their joys or concerns with the congregation. If you choose to share, please raise your hand and an usher will bring you a microphone. Please briefly tell us your name and the joy or concern you wish to share. And I will light a candle to represent that joy or concern. In this sharing, may our sorrows be lightened and our joys multiplied. First, I will light our memorial candle to acknowledge the many conflicts in our world. May a peaceful resolution to them be found. Now I invite you to share.
Morning, Paul. This is Jim. If you would light a candle of concern for member Ray Grosh. They have finally figured out what the problem is. He'll be getting out of Waukesha Memorial this afternoon. He's been fighting a kidney infection.
This is Leanne, a candle of joy for the high school UU kids put on a fundraiser for their trip this summer to New Orleans. It was a Valentine's dinner, and it was wonderful, and they were enthusiastic and did a great job. It was like being at a real restaurant for a lot of couples that came in and had some time to spend with their loved ones. It was quite a pleasure.
My name's Tony. I have a wonderful joy that I love to speak about all the time, and that is Charles Darwin was born today, 203 years ago. Oh, and Abe Lincoln, too. He's pretty cool.
My name is John, and I've got a concern and a joy. My daughter was just released from jail after 4 months in jail, and we're hoping that everything's going to go good, but on the other hand, it could go bad, so we're joy and concern.
Paul, this is Carlin. Would you light a candle of concern for my father? His, I think his congestive heart disease is progressing, and he'll be having an angiogram on March 1st.
My name is Jessie. Could you please light a candle for my brother Wes, who died unexpectedly last year? Just a couple of days, it'll be a year, at 44 from a heart attack. And a candle for his kids and all of us. Thank you.
Morning, I'm Josh. Candle of joy, please. I'm going to school full-time right now and start a new job starting tomorrow.
Hi, this is Angel. I have this really deep concern, and I'm sorry, but I have to say this at this point. I just had another anxiety attack watching my daughter, Gracie, walk out to RE because all the kids her age are so cruel to her. Why? Because she's retarded. And I've been keeping this quiet and not saying anything to keep the peace, but I really hope this would ignite discussion that, yeah, she's different, and yeah, she's weird, but the kids that are her age can be nice to her and respectful and treat her like a UU should be treated by other UUs. And I'm really sorry, but it has come to this where I can't stand to watch her suffer here where she should be safe anymore. Thank you.
Hi, this is Liz. I feel sort of selfish, but I'm just now really learning to take care of myself, and so this is part of that. I'm going back to work after a leave of about 8 weeks due to some depression issues, and it's a first shift instead of third shift, so in a way it's like a new job. It's a completely different set of responsibilities, and I'm anxious about it, but I'm also... my intellectual side is confident that I do have the abilities to learn this job and to do a good job. I'm just also a little worried, as I think would be normal. But thank you.
And I will light one final candle for all the joys and concerns we've These words for our meditation are attributed to Mother Teresa. They can be found written on the wall in Mother Teresa's home for children in Calcutta. We'll have a moment of silence after this. People are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some unfaithful friends and some genuine enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. What you spend years creating, others could destroy overnight. Create anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, some may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today will often be forgotten. Do good anyway. Give the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give your best anyway. In the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway.
Reverend Barbara Wells Tenhoff, co-author of Articulating Your UU Faith, a five-session course, inspires the thought that the first and seventh UU principles are the pillars of UUism, and the other five rest on the strength of those two. The first and amongst the oldest principles states the inherent worth and dignity of every individual. The seventh is respect for the interdependent web of existence of which we are all a part. Upon these two pillars, the individual worth and our interdependence is what the other principles depend upon for their foundation. As I move forward, some of you may have heard rumors about Montessori teachers, extroverts, and leaders that we can be kind of hands-on. Bossy leaders can be bossy sometimes. Extroverts get energy from interacting. I live up to a lot of those. So this isn't a sermon which you'll have a lot of opportunity to sit, unless you really want to. So I just wanted to warn you as I move forward. It's not my problem is something we often hear. Matter of fact, when we're working with children, sometimes we tend to say to them, it's none, say it with me, it's none of your what?
Business.
I can't hear you.
Business.
It's none of your business. That's right. We tend to say that. And yet, as you use, there's a belief that actually, to a certain extent, it is our business, right? It is. So how do we do that? How do we go from not being tattletales to making it our business? If someone hurts you or someone hurts you, how is it my business? How do we teach those people around us, not just children? We do it by asking questions. And let me tell you, I'm a person who's never short on opinions. So learning to ask questions instead of voicing my opinion is something I work at on a moment-to-moment basis. So when I tell you I'm working on it with you. But I believe that is the answer. For example, I need two volunteers to come up, two people who don't mind being the center for just a moment. Okay. Anybody else who really loves the theater? We have, who is this?
Gus.
Gus. Can anybody else? Okay.
He's my partner.
Okay, good. Okay. Gus and?
Rob.
Okay, Gus and Rob. Okay. Gus Gus and Rob, may I see your eyes, please? Okay. What you have, so pretend, see that beautiful rug there? There are cookies on that rug, okay? You can't really see them, but they're there. And you, Rob and Gus, get to have two, okay? Because there's other people here. Are there other people here who might want cookies later? Okay, so we really need to think about them, okay? Gus, you're going to take more than your share. Get going, okay? Let's go. Okay, Rob, yeah, what are you going to say to him?
Why are you taking more cookies? You're only supposed to take two.
I like cookies.
But we have to share with everyone. There's plenty there for now.
Okay, so he's not listening to your message, so you're probably going to come to me because I'm the boss.
Okay. Him or me?
Well, you're not going to tell on yourself, probably.
Gus is taking too many cookies.
Okay, what's our temptation to say to him? It's... Yeah, is he hurting you? And what might you say? Is he hurting you?
Yes.
Okay, you don't look hurt. Go. Okay, now, but what has he learned? What has he learned about taking responsibility? I gave a rule, right? I gave a rule, and I said to both of them, you may not, you're going to take two cookies. Now, Gus, right? Rob comes to me. Come on up. He's really upset with me because what? He wants to trust
me.
Not
fair.
That's right. And it's not fair. Okay? Is life always fair? No. Okay? But there is an injustice here. And he has a responsibility to that. But here are the questions I have for him. Because I also want this guy to learn, but I'm going to take care of that later because... Though it's hard to see right now, they're both little boys, and I need to help them. I need to help them. So I'm kind of the queen. I take charge, that kind of thing. Okay, so I'm going to teach him by some questioning, okay? All right, Rob, come here. Okay, Rob, I would be upset too. You're upset about that, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Okay, now.
Can I take another cookie?
There you go. If you take another cookie, will there be cookies for others?
No.
How does it feel for you to know you've left cookies for other people?
It makes me feel good that everyone's going to get a cookie.
You know what? Good for you. Good for you because you know what? You're doing the right thing. Does it feel good to do the right thing? Now, stay with me.
Yes.
Does it feel good to do the right thing?
Yes, it does.
Okay. All right. So what I'm teaching him is that he needs to focus on himself, but then I say, you know what? I'm going to have a conversation with Gus, but thank you for caring about your community. Now, what might he say?
Thanks for talking to Gus.
Yeah. And he might say, are you going to make him, right? Because sometimes, are you going to make him
put the cookies back?
What do you think?
Well, he touched them.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
So, will you trust me on this?
Sure.
But you know what? I thank you for coming. Okay. Now, I'll work with Gus. Thank you. Okay, so you get to sit down, you lucky guy. Okay. No, not you, Gus. Come on up. Yeah, you can sit down. Thank you. Let's give him a hand. I'm putting him on the spot. Okay, now, Gus. I don't want Gus to focus on me. So if I do something like this, did you take more cookies than you were supposed to?
No.
Okay. So if I do something like that, the attention is on me, right? The message can be lost because I've made myself incredibly interesting and scary, okay? But if I want Gus to focus on Gus, I'm going to say, hey, Gus, I see we don't have enough cookies for everybody. What are we going to do? So I'm not going to look at him, because what do I want him to learn? Community, right? I want him to focus on, not that he has an injustice, but I want him to want those cookies to be there, okay? I see there's not enough cookies for everybody out there. I wonder what we should do.
Go get some more.
Okay. Well, you know, the thing is, I don't really have time to go get some more. What could we do?
Well, I took some, a lot. Maybe I could put some back.
You know, that's a thought, but it's not really very sanitary for us to put those back after
okay,
they've
so
been
in
your pocket.
I can keep them.
You know what? That's up to you. I'm going to leave that up to you. I'm not going to take those from you. I trust you, Gus. I trust you a lot. So I'm going to let you decide what to do with that. But right now, I was wondering if you could give me some advice on what I might say to the rest of our friends. I don't want to humiliate you, and I don't want to embarrass you, but I don't have enough cookies for them. I think he's feeling bad yet. Okay, thank you, Gus.
Yeah. I don't know what you should tell him.
Right. And that's exactly it. What he has to think about and what I'm hoping Gus is focusing on. Thank you, Gus. What I hope Gus is focusing on is the injustice. The learning has to be about what it might feel like. The empathy, right? That's a UU principle. Compassion is there too. It's never okay to humiliate. I don't want to humiliate him. And I'm not going to take the cookies. My trust comes in that I don't think he's really going to enjoy them. You know, because we don't really enjoy things, I believe, when we've taken more than comes to us. And it's pointed out to him. But now there's nothing he can do. And I would probably say to all of you, something happened that we don't have enough cookies for everyone. And I'm sorry. Someone might say... Someone who knows, I know who took them, right? But I'm going to encourage that friend not to, because it's not about that. But it is about a learning moment that when there is an injustice, it affects all of us. So I have a story. It's called It's Not My Problem. When I do this, I want you to say as loud as you can, it's not my problem. Okay? Can you do that? All right. Once upon a time, a queen on her balcony eating rice cakes and honey with her chief advisor. As they ate, they gazed down at the busy street below. The queen pointed to something in the distance, and as she did, a drop of honey from her rice cake landed on the balcony railing. My queen, you have spilled a drop of honey, observed the advisor. Shall a servant come to clean it up? The queen laughed. A little drop of honey? Ha! Someone will clean it later. They went on eating and talking as the drop of honey warmed in the sun and began to slowly drip down the side of a railing until it landed in the street below with a plop. Your Highness, the advisor said, that drop of honey has now fallen into the street where it is attracting flies. Should we call a servant to come and clean it up? But again the queen yawned. And lazily replied, oh, a little drop of honey and a few flies are...
not my problem.
Someone will deal with it later. Soon a lizard darted out from underneath the palace wall and began to catch the flies on her tongue. Then a cat sprang from the baker's shop and began to bat the lizard back and forth like a toy. Just then a dog charged out from the butcher's shop and began to bite the cat on the neck. Your Highness, the advisor implored. Now the flies have attracted a lizard, which attracted a cat, which is now being attacked by a dog. Shouldn't we call someone to stop the fight? But the queen only stretched, shook her head. Won't you relax? A silly animal fight is
not my problem.
Someone will surely see to it. In fact, the baker did see to it. She saw the dog attacking her cat and ran out with her rolling pin and began to hit the dog. And then the butcher, he heard his dog howling and ran out with his broom and began to hit the cat. Soon the butcher and the baker were hitting each other. Mm-mm. Then the neighboring shopkeepers began to take sides, joining in the fight. Then some soldiers came along, but some knew the butcher and some knew the baker, so the soldiers, they took sides. And then the battle grew. It grew and grew and grew until a battle waged in the streets. People were throwing rocks through the windows, tipping over the vendor carts. Someone picked up a torch from the wall and hurled it through a window. Fire raged, and eventually it spread to the palace. The next thing they knew, the queen and her advisor were being escorted down a ladder from the balcony into the street below because the palace itself was in flames. Later that day, when the fire had died out, the queen and her advisor surveyed the ruins of their land. Suddenly, the queen stopped in the street underneath where her balcony had been. She reached down and touched something in a small puddle on the ground. "It's honey," she said, remembering. "I guess I should have cleaned up that honey in the first place. Now my whole kingdom has been lost because of it." That was the last day that queen ever said, "That's right," because it is our problem, isn't it? This is a good story to use in your family. It's a good story to not just use with children, but to take it into a conversation form about those internal questions. What am I doing? How often do I say, "It's not my problem"? Do I believe that the smallest of things make a difference? Do I believe it's only big things? How do I offer dignity or see the good in those who mistreat my gay or transgender neighbors simply because of their sexual orientation? Or those who hate my African American or Muslim neighbors simply out of ignorance and fear? I'm immediately reminded of Martin Luther King when he said in the sermon at the Dexter Avenue Baptist Church in Montgomery, Alabama in 1957. This is what Jesus means, I think, in this very passage when he says, "Love your enemy." And it's significant that he doesn't say, "just like your enemy." Like is a sentimental something, an affectionate something. There are a lot of people that I find it difficult to like. I don't like what they do to me. I don't like what they say about me and other people. I don't like their attitudes. I don't like some of the things they're doing. I don't like them. But Jesus said, "Love them," and love is greater than like. Love is understanding, redemptive goodwill for all, so that you love everybody because God loves them. You refuse to do anything that will defeat an individual because you have goodness in your soul. And here you come to the point that you love the individual who does the evil deed while hating the deed that the person does. This is what Jesus meant by loving your enemy. Again, a quote from Martin Luther King. So how do we apply this to our UU lives? The first principle does not demand that we like every person. It does not even go as far to say that we love every person. Although when we draw upon our Jewish and Christian sources, which command a response because they are saying that God's, we are to love because God's love demands that we love our neighbor, we are reminded first to see the worth and dignity in each person. Indeed, it is not a small matter, nor mere chance, that the first of the seven UU principles cites the individual. It is our sure home. A certain spiritual practice to treat ourselves with worth and dignity so that then we can reach out to others. And then it spreads out. Those with whom we come in contact, whether we like them or not, we acknowledge and recall to mind again and again that they, maybe not what their actions, but they are worthy of dignity. There is a book called Holy Listening that I have enjoyed. It's Gunther is the author, and she is an Episcopal priest in New York, and she reminds us that listening can be a holy act. We may not be able to cure someone's issues or problems, but by listening, something changes. I want to invite a few people up who can just do a little exercise with us. I need about 5 people. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, one more. Okay. Can you sit in a circle? Thank you. This is a nice exercise to do at home, to do with a group or a community that you feel safe with. I'm going to pass this flower. And when the person has the flower, it's their turn to speak. Now, what can happen sometimes, especially in our families, is that, and if you're a parent or you have any kind of mentoring position in your family, we tend to want to comment on this. When I've done this exercise with children, what tends to happen is they say things, and sometimes they may not be true. I'm reminded of a little boy who was in my class years ago, and when it was his turn to speak and no one commented, he would stand up. Now, his mother was an avid health nut. I mean, there was nothing that passed that child's lips that wasn't organic. There, I'm sure he had never seen the likes of fast food. And each time he had the flower, he would stand up and say, "This morning I went to Burger King, McDonald's, Taco Bell, and then I had French fries, and then I had..." I thought, there's no way, child. But you know what? I never said a word. And that's the thing. We tend to live in a noisy world. One of the things we need to do is just listen without comment, which means not even nodding our head, so that the full attention is drawn to the individual. So I'm going to ask these individuals to pass the flower, and our job is to listen without passion, without prejudice or judgment. See what happens. One sentence, anything. It's a safe place. You can do it, Carrie. We don't necessarily believe that we can solve all problems. My little grandma from Belgium used to say to me, "What is this thing?" Because my husband is also a family marriage therapist. And she was asking me, like in Flemish, she was asking me, "Now, what is it that he does? What is he doing?" I said, "Well, he meets with people who have problems. Don't they have good friends?" she would ask. I said, "Well, yes, but..." She said, "Oh, all you people need in America is a good friend and a good beer or a good cup of coffee." And 93 years and two world wars, and that's what she did. She buried two husbands, and that's how she got through. On her final day, she had a half of a good Belgian beer. She was a good Belgian woman. But I will tell you that sometimes it's not to minimize what we need necessarily medically or just that other person, but sometimes, I'm not minimizing counseling, but I am saying that sometimes, as you use, one of the things we're asked to do, because we believe in that inherent dignity, we believe that we are to be empathetic, we believe we are not to judge people, yet we may have strong judgments on actions that go against our principles, we can become better listeners. Think today, and maybe this week, the challenge for all of us is, how often do we just listen to another person? We don't say anything. We're just totally present. I don't know about you, but that's really hard for me. But I have found that it brings a lot of good to the people around me. We also have to learn in our lives how people can be different. We may see signs around that say, "Recall Mary Sue." Okay? "Recall Mary Sue because she doesn't share the same ideas I have." Or maybe some of her ideas are hurting other people. People have a right to have different ideas about recalling me or recalling someone else or who they would vote for. We encourage those differences. We need to teach the people around us to be hard on issues, things that go against our principles, but not on the people. And sometimes, and we have to remember this, those of you who are parents are still with children. Children are amazing. They are so perceptive, but they're horrible interpreters. They may not feel it's safe to like someone if they share different ideas. And sometimes, right now, it can feel like values are very, very different. So we have to look really hard for that inherent dignity. And I have to work at it just as hard, I think, as everyone else. But I'm trying. I'm on that journey. I believe it's the right thing to do. So let's work at that. I'm going to ask you now to stand, those who are willing. We're going to have a little fun doing something that talks about, or that I think is a fun lesson on how we can be different but sound really great together. So I need three different groups. So if you're willing to stand, stand. I promise this is like one of the last things I'll have you stand for. Okay. And a few people go over here because this group's going to be really soft. Okay. This group over here, you're this. Popcorn, popcorn, pop, pop, pop. You guys are Tom, Tom, the baker's son. You guys are strawberry pie, blueberry pie, yum, yum, yum. Okay, got it? And your name? Jake, you're the leader for this group. If you want to be. I told you about leaders. I can be bossy. I cross the line. If you don't want to be, you can be. You can. I can get someone else. Are you willing to do it? I put you on the spot. Can I have a leader here? So when people stand.
No. Recall.
You mean in this whole group? Okay. I know. I don't want to be wrong here. All right. And Paul, are you okay? You were standing in the front, so you're okay. So this group is going to, I'm just going to give direction, and you know who you are. You're popcorn, popcorn, pop, pop, pop. Here you go. Let's hear you ready. One, two, three, go.
Popcorn, popcorn, pop, pop, pop. Popcorn, popcorn,
pop, pop, pop. Popcorn, popcorn, pop, pop, pop. And stop. Thank you. Now we're going to do it. You've got the rhythm. We're not going to use any words. So I'll just point and listen to how it sounds. Ready? One, two, three, go. Sounds pretty cool, doesn't it? Thank you. What we learn is that every part of that rhythm was important. Not just one, but many. Giving our families an opportunity to experience that, to experience the importance of differences. Sometimes, I think families give us that opportunity to stretch because we don't necessarily choose them like we choose our families, or choose our friends. And so we're bound to be stretched with those who we share important holidays with sometimes, who share very different ideas than we do. But by golly, there they are at Thanksgiving. By golly, there they are at Hanukkah. By golly, there they are at that Christmas meal or wherever it is you're sharing. And sometimes we forget. We get wrapped up on that my idea is right. I'm right. Today, I'm going to close with an experience that I had as a teacher several years ago. I had a child in my class whose father died suddenly, and the mother was very angry about it. And the child was, the father was maybe 32, 33 years old, and he died of a brain aneurysm. And so this little girl would come into the classroom, and she would draw a picture of a grave and she would draw bugs eating the body. And another little girl in that class, mother had died a couple years prior to that. And in Montessori, the children are of mixed ages. So, and this child said, you know, I think your dad's in heaven, and this is how I see it with angels. And she said, no, that's stupid. My mom said, that's stupid. People who believe in that are stupid. You can't believe that. That's stupid. This was a four-year-old. She said, my dad's not stupid. That's what we believe. So, but this little girl who was drawing the bugs and came to me and she said, I want to believe. I want to believe that there are angels. So I went to her mom, and she said to me, I'm a Unitarian Universalist. We don't believe in that. And I said, you know, I'm not so sure that's true. I'd like you to talk to your minister about what your little girl wants to believe, because she has the right to believe what she wants to believe, and so do you. And this is where sometimes, you know, the mom started to sob, and she was so angry. Of course she was angry. And she has every right to believe what she wants to believe, but if her child chose to believe something different that wasn't harming her, of course she believed that it might, because if you are hopeful about something you couldn't see, she felt that could be harmful. And maybe to her it was. But if we believe in the inherent dignity and the right for each individual, that includes children, do we judge things so harshly that we might create a world where we're not really creating an environment where people can think independently? That's an important UU value. I honor each and every one of you for trying, for getting up each day and looking at those principles. Keep them close at hand. We're going to have some fun for those of you who want to join us afterwards with some food and some activities, and I hope to see some of you or all of you there. I wish you well in this journey. I have a song to share with you. It's sort of like a wish, because it's a journey that we're on. On one hand, we're unique individuals. On the other, we really can't do it alone. And our interconnectedness is what it's about. Thank you.
Come to the song, come to the dance, bring all you are, bring all you be, come with your voice, come with your heart, come and journey with me. Your eyes, take the time to look around and love, just love, and walk with each other. Come and journey with me. Come and journey with me. Dee dee dee. come and see, come and be. Be all you are and all you can be, and leave all behind and calm your mind. Come and journey with me.
Thank you, Mary Sue. Normally, this is a time when we'd have a polylog, since we're running a little behind, and you're all invited afterwards to come and have coffee and talk and stay for the potluck as well. I think we're going to push all questions off to that point in time. So at this point, I'm going to ask for a witness to come up and speak to us. So, Mark?
Hi, I'm Mark Brewer. Looming moment coming up. to now, 2012, my energy level's good. My spirits are high. For those of you who were there last Friday night, you did see the first, only, and last pole dance by Santa Claus. But
pictures.
But I might just trust that it can happen. And I do, if I do, I can know I count on my home and my extended family here at LCDC.
Thank you, Mark. So our offering words. We have been warmed by fires we did not build. We have drunk at wells we did not dig. We acknowledge not only our blessings, but also our many needs. This community exists because we sustain it. The gifts of the congregation will now be gratefully received. Something difficult here this last few parts of the service. This is our congregational affirmation. If you turn in your hymnals to number 560, let's see how well we can say this all together. This is from Dorothy Day. So together with me, people say, what is the sense of our small effort? They cannot see that we must lay one brick at a time, take one step at a time. A pebble cast into a pond causes ripples that spread in all directions. Each one of our thoughts, words, and deeds is like that. No one has a right to sit down and feel hopeless. There's too much work to do. Please join in our closing hymn, number 127, Can I See Another's Woe?
I see the Lord's woe.
know your ways, knowing not the answers to all things, yet seeking always the answer to one more thing than you know.
Great to meet you.